Chapter 16. With the essence of the dragon's life linked to her cage, there wasn't much choice other than to give up. The pair of goblin soldiers took my sword and bow along with Brenwar's hammer, while the others surrounded us. Above, the magic user jumped from the balcony and descended slowly, robes softly touching the floor. The goblins held our arms, while two others started to bind them.
"Leave them be,"
the magic user proclaimed.
"And bring them to my throne."
The magic user took his seat as we were shoved onto the steps.
"Don't do that again, goblin,"
Brenwar warned, rising back to his feet, only to be shoved down again.
"That's it."
Brenwar stuffed his heel in one's belly and shattered the knee of the next, making it let out a cry of pain.
"Enough,"
the magic user said.
"Let the prisoner be."
Finally, the man pulled back his hood.
"I am Korzan, the necromancer, lord of the burrow goblins."
"Lord of the burrow goblins?"
I wanted to laugh, but could not. I could laugh at a goblin, yes, but him, no. He worried me. My eyes met his. What I saw was unsettling. Korzan had the devilish features of a goblin, but was still a man. His face was ill-tempered and scarred, a sorcerer of many battles won and lost. His eyes were dark, intelligent and probing, but he didn't look like a necromancer. No, too rough around the edges, very atypical of his ilk. His hair was long, thin, and black as coal, and his sideburns came down to form a beard that hung inches below his chin. His ears were clipped in metal points at the top and bottom. I'd never seen that style before, but it looked uncomfortable. His strange hands were coarse-haired and rough, with dark metal armbands wrapped around his wrists. He sighed as he folded his fingers and set them down in his lap, showing the humanity that he must have possessed at some time before. His serene gesture gave me no additional comfort at all. He was trouble.
"So I can only assume you have come to steal my dragon?"
"It's not your dragon, Korzan. Dragons are free creatures, such as the way on Nelsimbor. Dragon poaching is a crime, well known in all the world."
"Ah!"
He slapped the stone arm of his throne.
"Dragon poaching has been around all my life and always will be. The people of this world capture, hunt, and eat the other creatures to decorate their tables. Cows, sheep, horses, goats, and no one complains. I don't see how dragons are any different."
That last phrase really got me going. My nerves inflamed as I stepped forward. "Dragons aren't animals. They are the oldest race on Nelsimbor, vastly superior to the likes of you
poachers."
Korzan motioned with his arm and said,
"And yet one sits in my cage. I hardly consider them superior. Quite easy to catch, skin, and eat like any other rodent."
Red-faced, I stepped forward again, only to have four goblins lower their spears at my belly. I had Brenwar to think about, too. And getting myself killed wasn't going to do the dragon any good. I had to settle down, think things out. I let my anger subside.
"So you are Nath Dragon, I see. Every bit as ill-tempered as the troubadours sing. It's nice to see it for myself, but something is different."
His eyes shimmered with light as he waved his hand. My dragon arm shot up in the air. I fought to pull it down, but could not. I lost control.
"What are you doing, Korzan? Let me go." "Fascinating,"
Korzan said, eyeing my arm like a splendid robe of wizards.
"Ha! It seems maybe my comments about the dragon might be wrong. Either that, or you are part animal. Of course, I'm sure you consider yourself part dragon.
He returned to his seat.
There you go.
I gasped as my arm was freed. I didn't know what happened, but this necromancer wasn't one to fool with. No one had ever taken control of my body before.
How did you do that?
I said, rubbing my dragon arm.
Like I said, I'm a necromancer, and I know things about dragons.
Korzan pulled out his necklace of bronze dragon scales and claws.
Certainly you, of all people, understand the mystic powers of these things.
He was right. Dragon parts could be used against the dragons, to control them, and make them do one's will. Many dragons had been used to commit evil acts against their will, while some dragons didn't mind doing evil. Just like the necromancer bound the blue dragon to his cell, he'd done something similar to me. I wasn't sure how, but I did realize with my dragon arm, I might be more vulnerable than I previously understood.
Impressive, Korzan. But I'm still here, and I can only assume you want something from me. I might as well be nice about it. Care to share?
Very well, Nath Dragon. Your enemies are close.
I looked around.
I can see that.
No, we are not your enemy, just your captors. The clerics of Barnabas. Now they are your enemies.
My stomach churned at the mention of their name.
And you would be selling this dragon to my enemies, which would make you my enemy. All the dragon poachers are my enemies. So please, don't try to use clever words to imply that you are not my enemy, Korzan.
As you wish.
He shrugged.
If it makes you feel better to be my sworn enemy, then I guess I can live with that. But the clerics of Barnabas are not my allies either. I have my own ambitions, Dragon. My own wants, needs, and desires. Lord of the Burrow Goblins? Do you think I was born for that?
He slammed his fist down on his throne.
No! I am cursed by it.
He clutched his hairy fingers.
Look at these hands. Have you ever seen a man with such hands before?
Have you ever seen one with a dragon arm before?
Korzan brightened. A glimmer of humanity returned back in his eyes.
Ha ha! Touché! But honestly, a dragon arm or goblin hands, which would you take?
I smiled and said,
I think you know the answer to that. Now can you back up and tell me about this issue with the clerics?
They pay well for the dragons, but information on you as well. They want you dead, but I need you alive.
Pardon? I should have been elated by the statement, but I wasn't.
Alive? For what? First things first.
I pointed to the blue razor.
I trapped the dragon to trap you. And my plan worked out all so well. Thanks to your friend, the dwarf.
Me?
Brenwar objected.
I had nothing to do with that. He lies.
Oh, don't be so hard on yourself, Brenwar Bouldergild. My familiar made the suggestion to you when you were miles away.
What familiar? I asked. Korzan held out his hands.
Come. Come to me, little creature.
Korzan beckoned. I followed Korzan's eyes to Brenwar's black beard.
What's everyone looking at?
Brenwar said, bunching up. That's when I saw it. A tiny face popped out of his beard. A pixie. As it crawled out, its mosquito-like wings came to life. Brenwar gawped,
swung, and missed as it darted over to Corzan and landed on his shoulder. I could hear the faintest whisper on its tiny black lips now.
Dragons beyond the shale.
Would it kill you to comb that thing every once in a while? I said. Renoir pointed at the pixie, saying,
Nothing lives in a dwarf's beard without permission. You'll be paying for that, you little pixie. You will.
He slapped his hands together. The pixie squeaked and dove into Corzan's hood. You see? I told you about those familiars. It just proved Corzan knew we were here all along. But what did he need me for? So let me understand this. The clerics put a bounty on me, and you wanted to catch me to turn into the clerics? Or did you have something more zany in mind?
The price on your head is high, but I don't value gold. I value magic, and they cannot offer me any more than I can get for myself. No, what I need is something else entirely. And the clerics... Well, they gave me an idea on how I could obtain what I do not have.
I folded my arms across my chest and said, And what might that be?
There is an object of power, an artifact that I cannot acquire.
He licked his lips.
I want you to get it for me.
And what makes you think I can get it if you can't?
I think my evil nature denies me access to such things.
So you've tried?
And failed, so to speak.
So, I said, what and where is it?
At the top of this mountain is an ancient graveyard. Inside a tomb is an object of power, a thunderstone. Bring it back to me.
The recesses of my mind sparked with memory. A thunderstone. My father had mentioned those before. There were many of them scattered in the world, each with different powers of its own. This was something worth looking into. Not so much for Corzan, but for myself. So, just walk in there, get it, and bring it back. What's up there that I need to know about?
A guardian is all.
What kind of guardian? Corzan formed a smile that could crack stone as he tapped his fingers together.
A troublesome one.
Pretty vague. So am I to venture to the graveyard and battle this troublesome guardian unarmed? Corzan rubbed his chin with his hairy hand.
No. You can have your weapons and gear. You can take your friend. Just bring me the Thunderstone, and I'll let you and the dragon go.
Let us go? I didn't think so. Magic users were notorious for going back on their word, both good and evil. They always had some stipulation that they failed to mention. So Corzan's words were no good. But I didn't have much choice in the matter either. How much time do I have?
Not much. The clerics of Barnabas will be here in 2 days, if not sooner. The climb up the steep mountain is long and treacherous. Still, you have plenty of time.
And what happens if I'm not back before then?
I would suggest you return before they come if you want this dragon freed. They won't want any delays, and I've no desire to agitate them.
And what'll you do if they arrive and the dragon is gone? Corzan laughed, a wicked sound that suggested I'd been duped.
If I have the stone, that won't be an issue. Just bring it to me, and all things will fall in order. Do we have an agreement?
Never make deals with wizards, magic users, sorcerers, and especially necromancers. Never. ever. Everyone said that, but they still made them. A wizard's word is never good. That's another one I heard all the time. The best thing you could do when dealing with a magic user was not to put it in writing and watch your behind.
"We have one,"
I said.
"Get your gear and go, Nath Dragon.
And be wary of the scales."